mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 359, the episode devoted to the 2017 Isle of Wight Comic Con, the inaugural one. Now myself, Debbie and Isabella went along, my wife Debbie as well. I think Isabella enjoyed it. She turned up on the Saturday and then promptly disappeared into the park with a friend and then came cosplaying on the Sunday and I think actually managed to spend the whole day there. We were delighted to get the chance to meet Alan T. Butcher, who very kindly looked after our stand on several occasions. We had a table strewn with most of my Doctor Who memorabilia. An 18-inch Dalek was a particularly popular feature and kept on getting hugged, even though it was being quite mean and unhospitable to several people that were walking past. On the first day, the Saturday, K9 even uttered a few words, but eventually gave up the ghost. Bearing in mind, he has been in one of my cupboards upstairs for quite a long time. We had the opportunity to speak to several cosplayers, guests, and celebrities during the weekend, and this is basically a compilation of that. I will be back shortly after a few lengths of audio just to explain the bit where Isabella fits in on stage with the cosplay competition, but until then, enjoy our audio captures.
Okay, we've got Isla Melrose dressed as
Hermione
and Tom Melrose dressed as
Indiana Jones.
Are you enjoying the Comic Con, Isla?
Yes, Mummy.
Very serious interview there, darling.
This is the first interview, so I don't mind, I intercepted you. Are you having fun? What was your favourite bit?
My favourite bit was when I got to paint this, and I also have another favourite bit. That was when I got a lucky dip.
Oh, fantastic.
And I ate a Milky Way, and it also had some sweets and also a toy.
Lovely. And what about you, Tom?
I have to admit, I've just been in a geek fest since the moment I walked in. I'm loving it.
Brilliant, isn't it? Okay. Well, I'm going to go off and speak to somebody else, and you guys have some fun.
Okay, Mummy.
Going outside for
fresh air.
Okay, darling, you go and get fresh air. I'll see you later.
Thank you.
I'm here with
Nathaniel.
And he's dressed as
The Fourth Doctor, Tom Baker.
Is he your favourite Doctor?
He is definitely my favourite Doctor.
Do you have a favourite story?
Probably the bit with the Talons of Ying Chang.
Yes.
I like that.
And are you enjoying Comic Con?
I am really enjoying it. It's been amazing.
What's your favourite bit, Ben?
Probably the Lego bit, actually. the Lego area.
Lego area.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you. I'm here with
Joanne.
And she is dressed as
one of the Sisters of Plenitude, the Nerf Cats from Doctor Who.
Absolutely wonderful. She looks magnificent. How are you enjoying the con?
Oh, it's brilliant. There are so many people. I didn't expect it.
It's been quite a pleasant surprise how many people have shown up for this. It's wonderful. And what's your favourite bit so far?
I don't think I have a favourite bit. It's just all really great. And it's not the first con I go to, but here on the Isle of Wight, it's our first. And so it's very emotional for us. But I love seeing the people in costume. There's been a huge turnout.
It's wonderful. Big boost to the island. And hopefully it will carry on.
Oh, they've got to do it next year, yes. I'm even thinking of volunteering because anything to help, this has got to be continued.
No, we'll get behind it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm with Rosie Jane now, and she was Bill's mum in Doctor Who, and I must say, you're really looking good for your age.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Cheers.
And how did you get the part of Bill's mum?
So, I was lucky enough to, I went to the University of West of England in Bristol and did drama and English, and just through doing that course and stuff, I met other people that were within that kind of game things, and then, yeah, got it through that. And then after my course, I decided to go to London to go to drama school at age 15, and yeah, being part of that just meant that I was able to audition for the role. Yeah.
So it was quite a sort of mystery thing when it was on, because obviously you appear quite early on in photographic form, didn't you?
Yeah.
And we're all thinking, well, something's going to happen there. She's going to be back at some point. And you didn't say much, but it was a sort of quite enigmatic.
Yeah, so we did the photo shoot last year, and that was a day just kind of, you know, going around the set and kind of thinking about what would she do, you know, who is Bill's mum, and just kind of creating that character. And then it was the second day when I came back, and we did lots of stuff with green screen, and of course they're very secretive in Doctor Who, so everything's very confidential. So I had the script for the episode of Lie in the Lands, but not the whole script. So I, you know, I seen the part that I was in, but I had no idea what else was going to go on. So we did the green screen stuff, but I didn't know what was going to happen with it until I watched it.
Very exciting. Did you get have all the family around to watch the episode?
No, I live in London with my friends. So I had my friends around when we watched it. But yeah, Mum was watching it from Bristol.
But did you sort of know exactly what was going to happen in the episode, or did you just aware of your own part?
I was just aware of my own part. So I knew what happened in the episode in the room, and when she imagines me and I'm sat there with a cup of tea. And that was literally it. That's all I knew.
Isn't Peter Capaldi a good photographer, though? All those pictures of you.
Great photographer. He worked really hard on that. Yeah, he's actually got a photography degree.
It's fantastic. It's always good fun. Of course, once you're in Doctor Who, that's it. You're now a Doctor Who person, so you're always going to get people coming up and sort of saying, "Oh, you're in Doctor Who." I have to say, though, what's coming up next for you?
Me? So I've literally just finished drama school, just got an agent, so I'm plodding along in London, being an actor. So I'm just kind of getting the ball rolling now with me and the next step to my career.
So what would be quite interesting, when to say at some point in the future they decide a new companion might be appropriate to actually have Bill's mum as a new companion. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Well, you never know what would happen. Yeah, it's Doctor Who.
Well, thank you very much. Enjoy the convention.
Thank you.
How are you liking the Isle of Wight?
Loving it. Absolutely loving it. I've never been here before. I've had like a play in the rain this morning by the seafront. So, yeah, it's great.
Nice to meet you. If you'd like to introduce yourself, and I will continue.
My name is Andrew Lee Potts.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Andrew, who's...
My name. Yeah.
And Andrew is better known for playing which character in Primeval?
Connor Temple.
Do you remember him?
No, I remember him, yeah.
Now, we had a discussion just before I started recording, or I nearly had one before,
yeah.
that I suggested that Primeval was ITV's answer to Doctor Who.
Because
at the time, Doctor Who was flying, and I think... And you said that one.
It wasn't his answer, I guess, in a way. It was obviously a sci-fi show. It had that similarity. But everything else was, you know, kind of...
unique,
really different and brand new, you know what I mean? Doctor Who was a show that was re-brought back to life in a way, and Primeval was a show that was from scratch, and I'm very proud of that, you know what I mean? That the characters really caught, I guess, people's hearts in a way on ITV, because they were brand new. They were like, you know, there was very few characters like them. So, and I think that's why it worked. We were a bunch of kind of misfits, and we were all, the good thing about it, we're all working actors, so none of us were hugely famous. I think that massively helped, because it helped people believe in the characters a lot more, and they didn't go, oh, that's so-and-so from that show, that's so-and-so from that show. We became Primeval, you know what I mean? So
I think because obviously I said about the Doctor Who link, and I'm obviously very, very loyal to Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I didn't actually get to watch Primeval for a bit simply because, well, I'm not watching that Doctor Who. But then I did watch it, and I found the first two or three seasons really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then past that, I found that I did watch it, but I was finding the stories are quite similar.
Yeah.
Similar setups and similar...
Yeah, obviously there's always going to be a Creature of the Week. It was that show. So that was going to be... There was going to be similarities in that. But as for the overall arc, it had to change quite a lot, you know, due to certain cast members wanting to leave. Or, you know, they had to roll with the punches, as it were. And they also... What Primeval did quite well was listen to the audience as well, you know, like with the whole Abby and Connor situation. That was never supposed to be a thing, not like it was, not like it turned into, but it worked really well, and they listened to the audience, and they recognised quite quickly that was kind of the love story of the show, though it wasn't supposed to be the love story of the show. So, and they kind of went with that. But as for the thing about you know, Doctor Who is fantastic, of course, and it's got a huge fan base and deservedly so. But you just don't want one option. You know what I mean? You wouldn't just go, oh yeah, we have one cop show in Britain, that's it. That's you know, you want different options, you want different detectives. You know, we have so many. How many detectives do we have? Populate. Also, what's the difference about sci-fi? And also, Primeval opened the doors to Merlin, Robin Hood, because we made a show that looked all American, classy, cool, expensive, and it felt British, fundamentally, at its heart. And I think that's what we did well. And like I say, we kind of opened the doors for all the other shows like Merlin, which was brilliant in its own right, to go forward with, to be brave enough to go, actually, people like these shows. They want fantasy. They want to get lost in these shows. They don't just want to watch an American show to see that.
Of course, in some ways, it would have developed into things like also the massive money that's thrown at Game of Thrones, but it's things are spawned from people's sort of imagination and stuff like that. I mean, like I say, I did start watching Primeval and I did realise it was a really good show, so I'm not going to knock it, but I was just at the beginning, I was a bit, you know.
It's fine, understandably, it's fine. I'm the same with other shows, you know, I'm loyal to shows and stuff.
Because it's not, like you say,
it wasn't anybody but the media that made it, that put them head to head. They need to do it because that's it makes them, and they get it. But the thing is, you know, because it was a sci-fi show, because they had, Doctor Who had Billy, we had Hannah, and they were both pop stars, you know what I mean? That's the similarities. So,
of course, and there was also the time travel element as well, wasn't there?
Yeah, of course, but that was just a means to get the dinosaurs. They had to
have time travel.
Yeah, that's the thing, but we had to have a way to get the dinosaurs there. So
we've just recently reviewed an old 1970s Doctor Who story called The Invasion of the Dinosaurs. I don't know if you've seen it.
No, I haven't.
It's a John Pertwee story.
Okay.
And basically, there's these scientists who are trying to scare everybody out of London by bringing the dinosaurs back from, obviously, the dinosaurs' age.
Okay.
They bring them back for a few seconds and it scares everybody out of London. And then they've got this machine that can turn time back to a nicer age. So everybody becomes, there's no smog, fog, cars or anything, so it's all more natural. And this is what these weird scientists have got the idea of doing. But in the process, they have to kill a few people as well.
It's collateral damage, isn't it?
But that episode is sort of not because of the standard of the dinosaurs that they're able to do in 1973.
That was the beauty of Doctor Who, though, wasn't it?
So what are you up to now in regards? I know, of course, we spoke earlier about being in Midsummer Murders, which was always a fantastic series. It's been going for so long. Long running, again, like I say, about Doctor Who, been long running show. But what are you up to at the moment?
The last big TV job I did was Stanley's Lucky Man on Sky One with James Nesbitt, which is a nice little character.
I saw some of that.
And I'm shooting quite a cool show now, and I finish in January, which will be out later next year, which I can't say. Because I had to sign something to say that I can't say.
What channel?
I can't say.
Is it in Britain?
Is it filming in Britain?
Yeah.
It's filming in Britain.
All right.
And maybe not just in Britain, though.
Oh.
But that's it. I said too much already. So I've been involved in that. So that's interesting. And I'm looking forward to when they actually when they announce it. And so I'm only like a part of the story.
Yeah.
But it's a very interesting role for me. So.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome.
I'm filling a little gap for the afternoon.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
I am now with Brian Wheeler, who'd like to be in Doctor Who, wouldn't you, Dr. Brian?
Dr. Brian, I would like to be in Doctor Who, a good part or a bad part. I just think that I'm right for it. I've done Star Wars, I've watched Star Trek, but I want to be in Doctor Who. And they could say, who's that dwarf? So, yes, I think that it's about time that I was in Doctor Who.
We had Jimmy V on the show, and apparently he's got a very good part in Star Wars.
In Star Wars,
he couldn't tell us about it, but he couldn't confirm or deny anything.
Oh, well, I can confirm that I was an Ewok and a Jawa in Return of the Jedi.
Have you seen the Ewok when we've had coming around here?
I've seen the Jawa. There's two Jawas.
Yes, I know what I'm talking about. He's good, isn't he?
You like Doctor Who, you don't like...
I do get slightly sidetracked because it's been such a good convention. There's been so many things.
It has been a great convention.
Yeah.
And hopefully tomorrow's going to be just as good.
Absolutely.
Lots of lovely people, lots of great people dressing up. And of course, we've got a couple of my favourite people who are in Doctor Who, which, funny enough, I would like to be in.
So, who have you got that was coming that were in Doctor Who?
Well, we've got Nick Joseph beside me, and then we got Rose.
Was Nick in Doctor Who?
No.
Was he? Good.
And we got, of course, the lovely Rose over there playing, singing.
We spoke to her, and she is lovely.
Yes, she is. Unfortunately, my wife and myself had to have dinner with her last night.
What do you mean, unfortunately?
Oh, it was so unfortunate. And, of course, John Altman. Okay. Oh, bless him.
Yeah, you're not staying at the new Holmwood, are you?
I'm not staying anywhere. I'm living on the Isle of Wight for the next time, until I get a part on Doctor Who. Yes, just in case I hadn't mentioned that, yes. I want a part on Doctor Who.
I think it's a given that you should have a part in Doctor Who. So say our listeners are going to watch something that you're in, because obviously being an audio presentation, it's a bit difficult to think, I know that is. How would you describe a character you've done that they'd be able to pick out?
Oh, my word. In Phantom of the Opera, of the film with Gerard Butler and directed by Joel Schumacher, I was the small person in the film and the only small person, and I was the helper to one of the main opera singers. Yes. So that's where one of the audio would be. I look up a lady's skirt while they're singing.
That's a nice job.
Yeah, while they're singing some opera on stage. So yes, that's very nice.
So, like I say, you've done Harry Potter and Star Wars, you said. So, how about the Harry Potter thing? So, how many of the Harry Potter films did you do?
I've done 4 of the Harry Potter films. I was a banker in 3 of them.
Sorry, you were what?
I looked after money in 3 of them. And in the Half-Blood Prince, I was outside the sweet shop when it got exploded by the Death Eaters. And me and Rusty Goff had to go running up the hill, and we couldn't see how far we had to run, so we only stopped when we heard cut. So that was a lot. We just carried on running and running and running.
Yeah, sounds like you've had such a lot of fun doing these films.
And also, there's a little bit more. Yes. In The Goblet of Fire, I was in the cheering up in the Quidditch final. I was a Belgian for half the game, and then my allegiance changed to the Irish, to be sure.
And Star Wars. A few aliens in Star Wars?
Star Wars, I was a lovely teddy bear Ewok, and I nearly got burnt, but I didn't. But I hit Harrison Ford in the head with a lump of wood when it
was... deliberately?
No, of course, because we can't see anything. But he was hanging upside down on fire, and I had to put wood under the fire when I hit his head. And then I had the lovely part of being asked to be a Jawa, where I was a Jawa, and we had a wonderful deleted scene where we had to run across the bars, and it was myself and Andy Heard, and we kept falling through. But unfortunately, the hole wasn't that big. We only had one leg that could go through, and as all you male listeners out there will understand, falling through a hole with just one leg is a bit painful.
Well, imagine it is. So about Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones. I got my little brother on that one.
Maybe you could be able to get your part on it.
No, that looks very much like me anyway. No. When I had hair and a beard, that young Mr. Peter Dinklage, who is doing very well for dwarf actors out there, because he's actually acting and doing different parts. Because he was actually in Lassie, which is...
Lassie?
Yeah, he was, quite funny enough.
A recent Lassie?
Yeah, one of the most recent ones, I think. He was in a travelling caravan, and Lassie went and stayed with him for a while. There you go, that's something you didn't know.
So anyway, I don't know if we've mentioned this, but you wouldn't mind being in Doctor Who, apparently.
I would love to be in Doctor Who, and I would love it to be in almost like myself, rather than having lots of prosthetics and makeup and everything.
What Jimmy V said. He played Banner Cafalata. Jimmy V.
Did he swear at you? Is that what he was swearing?
He did swear when we had a conversation, and yes, he did, not at me. It was more actually about some other things going on in the room at the same time. But Bernie was quite broad Scots, so it was quite difficult to understand.
He's very Scottish. He's a lovely guy. I've worked with him quite a few times over the years. And I think he's very good in Doctor Who. But he might need a bigger brother.
But he did say that he likes to... I said, what's your favourite part? And he said a specific part that he said, because he was able to play a more human character. Have you played any parts that you're particularly favourite with?
Well, obviously, if you watch telly a lot, especially UK Gold, you'll see me quite often on Top Gear, because I drove with Richard Hammond in the Spanish Rally.
I don't watch Top Gear. I should do, but I have watched the odd one. I'm terrible.
Well, when you see the Spanish Rally, They're doing a rally, and we've all got different drivers. Well, Richard Hammond has me as a driver, co-driver, and the car keeps blowing up. So that's quite fun. And also, there's a low-budget film called Stag Night of the Dead, where I play Mr. Big. And it was such a low-budget film, I got the part because I had a dinner suit.
About Celebrity Big Brother, would you go on Celebrity Big Brother?
How could I be Big Brother? It's got to be Little Brother.
No, well, I'm talking about that chap who played, was it Little Me? Oh, no, Mini Me. Wasn't he? He was on it.
Tyrone Powers or something?
Yeah, he was on it. Anything else you'd like to be on other than Doctor Who and anything really, I suppose?
Yeah, any sort of major films. I hear there's some more major films coming out.
There's a new sort of Harry Potter type film coming up soon, apparently.
Is there really? You surprised me on that one.
Do I?
I wouldn't have a clue on that one.
I've got a funny feeling there's going to be quite a few Harry Potter-based films coming up.
That would be for you to know, and our lovely...
Yes, I know what you're saying in a, some sort of way by saying that. But anyway, thank you very much for your time.
Cheers, buddy.
I'm now with Nick Joseph, who's been in Star Wars. He's wearing actually a T-shirt here that's talking about his Star Wars stuff. But I've been informed that you were also in Doctor Who.
Yes, I did three different Doctors, four episodes. I did one with Tom Baker, which was The Leisure Hive, two with Peter Davison, which was Black Orchid and Terminus, and one with Colin Baker, which was Mark of the Rani.
All really good shows as well. So what characters did you play in these stories, if you can remember, of course, a long time ago?
With Tom Baker, I played the tourist, who suddenly died for no reason at all.
Was that a quick part, that one?
It was in and out part, a feature, a two-day job.
Like cameo sort of thing?
Yeah, you could say that, yeah. With Peter Davison, I played the cricket captain in Black Orchid, and Terminus is the one that they captured me because I'd had this disease, and then I escaped.
Yeah.
And then with Colin Baker, I played Luddite.
Yeah.
Who was the friend of the guy who was what was his name? I forgot his name now. Anyway, I captured Doctor Who's assistant at the time is Nicola Bryant then.
So we can now we've talked about Doctor Who, we can move on to Star Wars. Now, what's your claim to fame on Star Wars?
Well, I played a character called Major R. Hall Exrefon.
Major R. No, I can't say it now.
Major R. Hall Exrefon.
You can say it all right.
Yes.
Can you say it after a few beers?
And you can't say it if you've had a few beers, that's a thing. No, he's the character who carried the medals of Yavin, which was given to Han Solo and Luke Skywalker straight after the Battle of Yavin.
So did you at the time, I know you've probably been asked this question, know how big Star Wars was going to become?
No idea at all. Booked for 2 days, ended up doing 15 days. Who knew what it was going to be like? Wonderful, isn't it, hey?
Isn't it? All these things, sci-fi fans, it just gets so attached to any sort of thing like this, and everybody becomes part of a family, whatever genre you're in. And I've never met anybody who's done these sort of things and don't absolutely love the fact that they're involved in it. I mean, you've got people in Doctor Who that have been coming to, like William Russell and Carol Ann Ford have been doing it since 1963. They're still doing them. They're in their 80s,
that's,
you know.
Right.
And it's such a lovely, friendly environment as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Brian and I, we see each other very often. Same with Andrew, we see each other often. But the rest of the guys, obviously, are not here today. But we meet up, you know, quite often in different parts of the world. When I leave here on Monday, I go back to Essex where I live, pack my bag, and then I'm off to Australia. So I'm doing the...
That's not bad, is it?
No, it's not bad at all. I'm doing the Supernova in Brisbane.
Oh, that sounds like
lovely, eh? Then we're staying there for a month. So that'll be nice. Have a nice holiday again.
Oh, do you have to pay for that?
No.
Oh, brilliant.
No, nothing at all.
Right, I'm going to try and get a part in a film. Anyway, it's lovely to meet you. Thank you very much.
That's a pleasure. Have a good day.
I'm now delighted to be here with Hannah Spirit.
Hello.
Hello. Now, how are you enjoying the convention, Sarah?
Oh, it's a very, very exciting convention.
We've never done this on the Isle of Wight before.
No, it's the first one ever.
Is it different to any others that you've done?
It is very different.
Is it?
It's very un-Comic-Con like, and I mean that in the best possible way.
And not in terms of costumes and effort and all the great things that come with Comic-Con, but just in terms of, I think being on the Isle of Wight, it just feels very, very different, and the venue feels very different.
To usually bigger, aren't they, the venues?
This venue just feels very historic.
Yeah, it isn't.
Oh,
well, it's not that historic.
Yeah.
It's nice. Oh,
yeah.
So, I do lots of weddings here, so I'm used to it. And I've given blood in this room, funny enough. But there you go. It has lots
really?
But carry on.
Oh, right. Okay. But yes, so this feels lovely to do it in, to me, what feels like an historic building.
It's a lovely venue.
Yeah,
you can adapt it to loads of different things,
yes,
you know,
yes,
which
I
is
imagine.
Quite nice. But yes, so.
But yes, a lovely one. It's a lovely one. And for me, I've never been to the Isle of Wight before, so it's very first little. So it's all been a little adventure.
Some of your former colleagues performed at Jack Up the 80s in August.
I've heard.
I didn't go to that. My wife did.
Nor did I.
But I thought, I couldn't understand it because it was Jack Up the 80s. I'm pretty sure S Club was a 90s band.
But yes, definitely were.
You're probably.
I'm not.
S Club Junior.
I'm getting on a little bit, but I'm not in my 40s.
Right, so now we're going to swing over to Primeval a little bit because I was having a chat with someone, and because being a Doctor Who fan, when Primeval came out, the media spun it a little bit as Primeval was the answer, or ITV's answer to Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't watch it for a bit because I was being very loyal to Doctor Who. Then I thought, I've heard it's actually quite good. So I started watching it, it actually was quite good. So, being sort of involved in the S Club thing, how did you end up getting the part in Primeval? Do you remember?
I just very simply auditioned. I had an agent, and going from S Club, I was eager to get back into my acting. I did acting beforehand.
Yeah, of course you did. That's acting, wasn't it?
Well, yes, it was.
Yeah, was
but I did do acting as...
Before that.
Yeah, I mainly did musical theatre before S Club. And I won't go into... I won't bore you with the details.
I'm
but
never going to get
the one. I travelled quite a lot with it. And, I knew what I wanted to do. So I kind of, like, came out of S Club and got myself an agent. And, so I kind of just went through that journey of auditioning and didn't realise when Primeval came around that it was going to be such a big show.
Yeah.
Just went into the room and played around with the part and imagined Rex being there.
A
and
bit like
that was it.
Lara Croft in some ways.
It kind of turned into that. I don't think Abby initially was meant to be as kick-ass as...
Yeah.
But I'm so happy that she turned out to be...
probably the most memorable character in the whole thing.
That's your opinion,
itself,
but thank
I
you.
I remember it, apart from obviously you being in it, but there was the chap who was the evil chap, because he was in Star Trek Deep Space Nine, wasn't he?
He
Doctor.
Was.
Now, I thought, wow, that's a bit of casting.
Was it Ben
Miller?
Ben Miller, yeah.
Who played he played quite a sort of, not quite the sort of character he normally plays.
Yes.
So that in itself made it quite interesting to watch. You frame essentially people out of their comfort zone, and again with you, better known as a sort of
It was one of my
S Club member.
Suddenly
playing this really sort of quite tough woman.
Yeah, absolutely. It was my first sort of known role from S Club, and very, very different to my character, let's say, in S Club. You know,
Do
you know what?
I quite like that series, by the way.
quite a big transformation there. But with the casting, I think they were very clever. You know, there was a lot of unexpected castings, like you said, Ben Miller and the like.
Mm.
So. It was interesting. We were a funny old little bunch, really.
I must admit, to be honest, I did sort of zone out a bit when it came to about series four, because I found that it was essentially the same thing happening in every story, although done very, very well.
Yeah.
So I started to zone out a bit. And for me, the reason why Doctor Who is able to sort of get around that, because it basically does completely different situations.
Yeah.
And you can't do that in that sort of series like Primeval in that way, unless you completely move away from the environment they're in. But in itself, if you look, sometimes you get a series of stop and then you go back, actually, I'll look back on that, it's really good. And I can think of an example recently, because I used to hate Dancing on Ice, and then it went, and I realised I quite liked it. I reckon shows like Primeval could come back at some point, simply because...
dinosaur.
Not necessarily the actors,
well,
but the show could come back.
Yeah, exactly. I think the concept.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
I think
absolutely.
Mainly because of fans that write fan fiction for certain things, and they're able sometimes to think up better storylines than the original writers did.
Yeah, and they get very involved. Yes. I often find that coming to Comic Cons, you know, people are such hardcore fans that they end up, you know, writing for it. And
yeah,
have
exactly.
had
that. Through.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's quite amazing, really.
So what's happening now then?
So, well.
I mean, not actually what's happening at all.
Yeah, I mean. yes, well, on the acting front, or
well,
I've been sort of like doing. Well, I'm sort of getting a little bit older now.
Keep on saying this.
Well, I am. So I've hit my mid.
Older.
I know we all are. But anyway, so I've hit my mid-30s, and I know. So I've sort of ventured away from. Like, I've got other loves and interests apart from acting, and. I've been doing a few other little bits and bobs, and I'm working on my own venture, my own little business venture, which is all very exciting. Very early days, but super excited about that. And I've also, on the acting front, I still love acting, and I'm still keeping that going. And at the minute, I'm doing a little stint on EastEnders at the minute.
Oh, yeah.
I am indeed.
I'm just start watching it again, though, aren't I?
That's what I did when
I.
I have to. My wife watches Emmerdale and all that stuff, and I have to. When I'm, I usually find something else to do. But Shrubber's soaps, you've got to watch them and watch them and watch them.
Yeah.
And then you're in that, you're caught in it. And they are good, but I just don't want to be caught in a long-term series. Mm. However, I will dip in now and again.
But there you go. We'll dip in I'm in it. No, I think I'll probably start airing. I haven't got the info on it yet.
Isn't it, between filming and
it is. I'll be on around Christmas time, something around that sort of period.
Christmas time, eh?
Yeah.
You're not allowed to tell me what sort of character
I'm not. I can't say anything.
Do you know how long you're on it for?
I can't, honestly.
You can't say that.
I am, no, I can't say
anything.
Have
they revealed that you're on it yet?
Yes, they have.
Have they?
I can actually say her. No, I play Karen's sister.
Yeah.
Her younger sister. But
younger sister, you see?
Yeah.
As you've gone about getting old.
Well, I'm not saying getting old, but I'm just saying, you know, it's like, you know, just, anyway.
So life's still fun.
Life is very fun.
Good.
It's got to be, hasn't it?
Another whole day of this to go, yeah?
Yeah, one more day. Yeah. And, don't know at the minute whether I'm going to sort of stay till Monday yet or go back. I know. Might go and see A Bit of the Island.
Yeah, go and see. There's a few theatres on the island.
Is there?
Can't think of any at the moment. But the Shanklin Theatre's always got a good show on. And Medina Theatre got a good show on. That's in Newport.
Oh, really?
Shanklin Theatre. That's in Shanklin, funny enough. But yeah, there's a few spots going on the island.
Is there
this time of year, everything shuts down.
So a good fireworks display anywhere tomorrow.
Yeah,
where would that be?
Everywhere.
Basically,
walk around
amazing.
And you'll see them out. But I don't know about specific ones. It does rather depend on the weather.
Yeah.
But yeah, Google it. Google Isle of Wight Fire Display.
Yeah,
there's going to be something.
To choose
there.
Yeah.
Probably down the seafront in Ryde, I reckon. Probably.
Right, okay.
Because the best thing about that, there'll be a firework display in Ryde, and there'll also be one in Portsmouth, so you can see both sides of the water.
Oh, okay. Cool, oh, gosh, yeah, that'd be amazing. That'd be lovely.
Probably a good one here as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you.
Lovely
for talking
to you. Thank you for chatting. Yes.
I'm now in the rotunda with all the guests sort of having left, and Chris tidying up rubbish in the background with a bag, and Debbie pacing around the place because she's waiting for 5 o'clock to come up, and Alan T. Butcher's sat next to me thinking about what long piece of literature he can write for Deb to read out just for the sake of it tomorrow. You've got something to do tonight, Alan?
Yeah, absolutely. It certainly is.
So how have you felt this particular convention has gone so far?
It's been great, yeah. It's been very successful, I think. There's a lot of people here, and there's a lot to see as well, which is nice. And it's been the biggest difficulty with all these things is just getting around the place, trying to get through the people.
So has it exceeded your expectations?
Yeah, I think it has. Apart from on one respect, of course, the fact that Paul McGann unfortunately had to pull out.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about that, which is a good thing that we forget about it, because it's been so enjoyable that hasn't actually tainted the experience so much.
No, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. It would be a shame if that had been like the only good thing, but it wasn't. You know, the fact is there's lots of good stuff here.
So despite the fact we've had to put up with Debbie for the whole day, it's actually not been that bad, has it?
No, despite that, we've managed.
So what's your been a thing that's impressed you most about this particular day?
Well, I think the I like the displays, and I think the also I went to a few of the panel presentations, and they were quite good. There was a good one straight off the bat on comics, and there was an interesting panel there with writers and an editor from Titan, and that came over quite well, and they clearly love what they do, and that's it's really good to see, and it's been good to go around and see a few sort of famous faces and see all this stuff. There's some presentation right in front of us at the moment. We've got a magnificent display of swords, and which is marvellous.
And if the police see them, then they might be confiscating some of them.
Absolutely, yeah, that's right. Yes, it certainly looks like the sort of thing that they were checking our bags for at the start.
So, anything looking forward to tomorrow?
Well, I don't know. Now I know the lay of the land, as it were, I shall be able to go and sort of revisit places I've only sort of seen in glancing as I went by.
So you're not coming here, just walk around the island?
No, not that. No, because obviously that would only take about 15 minutes. So really, there would be no point in doing that, really.
And I've got here to my left Debbie Melrose, who can't be bothered to sit down. Well, she sat down. She's now going to tell me what her highlights of the day have been.
Meeting Brian O'Halloran. Oh,
might want to say that again.
Meeting Brian O'Halloran from Clutz. Right.
Are you going to have any Waynes later on?
Probably.
I challenge you to say that name after a few more Waynes.
All right, I'll phone you.
Rather you didn't. So, what have you thought so far? Do you think it's been a bit more than you expected?
Definitely more than I expected. It's exceeded expectations. Exceeded everyone's.
You can't say expectations without a wine.
It's exceeded everyone's expectations. It was wonderful.
Everyone's?
Well, pretty much everyone I've spoken
to. Yeah,
everyone I've spoken to. Staff, everybody has just gone, wow, they didn't expect this, even with obviously the letdown of Pearl Mackey and Paul McGann. They've it's still
got some pretty good celebs. Yeah. I did actually speak to him about on the celeb front off microphone to Rosie Jane and to Andrew Thingamajig from Primey. And I said, Andrew Leapot, some very bored looking celebrities. And they just both said, oh, we're not celebrities.
Oh.
I said, well, I suppose you are. I suppose you're guests, aren't you? Yeah, that's better. So they don't consider themselves as celebrities.
Okay, fair enough. No, it was just been brilliant. I've loved it. It was so rammed at one point, and then obviously the fire alarm went off because of the popcorn machine. But that was
Denise from the Magic Mirror who set off the fire alarm. And the fire brigade did indeed turn up.
Yes, they did about 5 hours later. Yeah. But yeah,
which will probably result in some
or
sort
maybe
of fine.
There was extreme cosplay going on. I don't know, but yeah, no, it's been fantastic. The trade area has been brilliant, and the guests have been terrific. The turnout of cosplay has been fantastic. And I can't wait to see what tomorrow brings.
Yeah, she'll have to take some. I'll just deliberately go around taking some cosplay pictures tomorrow, won't you, Deb?
Absolutely.
And doing some interviews, won't you, Deb?
Yeah, more. I only got three today.
It's not good enough, is it, Deb?
One of them was my husband.
It's more than. it's more interviews that we get from any of the American people at convention.
True.
And
they
who can't be bothered to go around with microphones or anything. I mean, these things only cost about 100 quid.
I know.
They can't be bothered to, they expect me to buy them and go around. But yeah. And then they expect me to do everything and then moan at me when things don't happen. They don't realise how busy I am.
Oh, dear.
But you're going to do more interviews tomorrow, aren't you?
Yes, I am indeed. I will go around.
Otherwise, I'll let Alan loose with this microphone. How do you feel about that, Alan?
That's great. I've already got an extra word I can use now. I can use expectation, and I know Debbie can't pronounce it.
Right. And here comes the photographer. There's Mr. Duncan Nifton, who's coming over to say what sort of day he's had.
Absolutely bloody brilliant.
He's loved it. So I'm so glad you liked it. who's your favourite celebrity you've done the pictures with today?
Hannah.
I had a very, very flirty conversation with her.
She's a very flirty girl, but she's brilliant.
They've all been great, actually. They've all been great. But Hannah's...
So, are you just looking scruffy or just growing back your beard?
I'm just growing back my beard. I'm trying to catch you up.
November. It's November, Duncan.
November.
See you tomorrow.
Don't catch me up. No, it's always neater.
Okay. Goodbye. I'm coming. All right, we're looking forward to tomorrow, aren't we?
Definitely. Yeah. Yes.
It's day two of Comic-Con, and I'm here with...
Roberta.
And you're dressed as?
The Mad Hatter.
And?
I'm Elizabeth.
And you're dressed as?
The Eleventh Doctor.
Eleventh Doctor. And we met these lovely ladies yesterday and showed us their art, and it was amazing. And I just wanted to see how your con's going.
Yes, awesome. I can't believe it.
It's the best thing ever.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
It's absolutely brilliant, yes. We like Quirrell the best and the Doctor Who's fans.
Quirrell was amazing. But are you local to the island?
Yeah. Live and ride. So okay. Not that far away.
And rumours control has it that it's coming back next year for definite. So, yes.
Yeah,
I'll be here next year with Nobs on. Yeah. No, we'll be here. Not sure if we'll be in the cold rotunda again, but yeah, we'll be there. So, what's been your highlight?
TikTok. Quirrell, I think.
Quirrell has been pretty good. Yeah.
Quirrell as well.
Yeah, no.
Amazing guy who plays another Hatter.
Oh, no, fantastic. No. It's been fantastic, and it's been great to meet you guys as well.
And
so
you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm here with
Will Marples.
And you are dressed up as
David Tennant.
And looking fantastic, I must say. Lovely suit. Lovely to see you yesterday. How are you enjoying it today?
Yeah, it's all right. Literally just got here, but yeah, it's all right. It's good. First one on the island, it's absolutely fine.
And there is big rumour control that it's coming next year. Will we see you again?
Definitely.
And what's been your highlight?
All the people here, meeting Andrew, Hannah, and then the two Power Rangers as well, Jeff and Kevin.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you very much. We'll have a good day. Thank you.
You too.
Well, our daddies showed up here at the convention. Hello, Paul. Stop coughing everywhere. All over my microphone. So you've been to a few of these type events, haven't you? How's this compare?
It's good. Yeah, it's good fun actually. There's some really nice people here, and there's a really good vibe as well. We decided to come on the Sunday because we thought it might be a little bit quieter. It seems to have really picked up.
Yeah, it was quite busy. It seemed busier yesterday, but I think it's just because people are coming for a bit steadier more than the whole great big bunch that came in at the start.
No, it's good. There's some nice exhibits. There's some real varied lot of people here, which is great. And everyone seems to be having a great time. Lots of people dressed up, which is lots of fun, isn't it? So yeah, it's good. I think it must be I think it's quite a success. Hopefully, it's been a financial success because I'd like to see it again next year.
Yeah, I think it seemed sort of from the words I've heard, it has been successful, and they've penciled in a date for next year. It's just up to the powers that be to decide whether to take them up on that date. Sadly, I'm doing a wedding on the first of the two dates, but I'm hoping that we'll still be along here anyway because Deb can cover the Saturday side of things. But I had a word with a couple of the celebrities yesterday who said that it's a really lovely con, but it's something different about it. They don't know whether it's because it's on the Isle of Wight or just it's just the people. But it's Hannah Spirit specifically really thought it was a lovely convention, so it's quite nice for a first go at it.
Yeah, no, I think they've done really well. And I've been involved with a lot of conventions over the years, and I know the sort of work that goes into them. And I don't know if the people that organise this have ever organised conventions before, but it seems to be really well put together.
Yeah, they have. They've done several on the mainland, Comic-Con specifically. I think they're pretty good at it, but it must be a slightly different sort of thing to arrange a convention on an island, basically.
Yeah, well, you've got all the issues with getting people across, and they've had a few dropouts, which has been a shame, but no one seems to care, do they?
No, I think that's probably the reason why they don't care. It's been such a good event. I think it's been a bit of a dance squib. It's mainly the Doctor Who ones that have dropped out, really, but it hasn't really bothered me. We had lots of Doctor Who fans coming up to the table and taking interest in this little chap here. So, yeah, it would have been nicer to have the more than just Rosie Jane and I found Nick Joseph randomly was in Doctor Who as well, so we've got an interview with him. But other than that, hopefully next year we'll get some, but it doesn't really matter. It's all about getting lots of geeks and cosplayers together to have a fun day at Norfolk House, really.
Yeah, and I picked up some cool comics, which is good. Looking forward to reading these.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, I got David Leitch Conquers the Universe, so he's fighting Godzilla, so that looks quite good. Quite looking forward to that. And my son's here. Georgie, come here.
Are we going to get a first? Are we going to get George on the podcast?
Are you going to say hello?
Say hello, George.
Say hello.
Hello.
Hello. Have you liked the convention?
Yeah.
Have you liked the convention? Yeah?
Yeah.
What did you like? Did you like the Daleks? Did you like the Daleks?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, you're not saying much, are you?
Yep, it's good enough. It's better than nothing, isn't it?
This is first convention.
This is first convention, yeah.
Nice way to be christened into the conventional world.
Yeah, it's a bit overwhelming for him, really.
Yeah, well, everything's so big, isn't it? When you're looking up at everything, seeing these people dress up in cosplay costumes is quite alarming, I suppose, in some ways, for the little one.
Yeah.
Good fun as well. What about you, Amy? What do you think?
Yeah, it's been a good day.
There we go. Excellent. Right. I've got to go around and take some pictures in a minute. And she has got to get an interview with... That's her task for the day, get an interview with Brian O'Hanrenren. Brian O'Hanrenren. Who's this Brian... Oi, Deborah. Deborah, who's Brian O'Hanrenren? Who is Brian O'Hanrenren?
Brian O'Hallahan, he was in Clerks, the Ultimate Sucker movie.
Yeah.
He knows now.
Yeah, I know.
I still don't know.
I didn't know... Yeah. Ask him if he was supposed to be here today.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that one. Anyway, right. Thank you.
Hello, I found an innocent victim of the convention here. What's your name?
My name is Bay.
And who have you come dressed as?
I have come as Wonder Woman.
I, of course, know that, but where this is an audio presentation... You know, so, have you been all weekend?
I have, yes.
And what have you thought of it?
I think it's... Oh, no, it's only the first year, but I think, considering it's the first year, it's amazing to see how many people have turned up. It's lovely to see how many people have turned up in costumes. And I think it's great that we're all here to have a good time and we're all here for a common interest, which is just wonderful.
Yeah. Did you expect to be as good as this?
To be honest, I wasn't sure. I didn't have an expectation. I've just come here and just... It is what it is, isn't it?
And yeah, and you loved every minute.
Fantastic. Yeah, I think it's great. Excellent. I can't wait for next year.
Did you stay on the... Are you from the island? Do you come from...
Certainly are, yes.
Yeah, that's good. That's nice. Supporting local... events, that's the word I was looking for.
Yes. Yeah.
Hopefully it's going to be back next year.
Hopefully.
You're going to come along?
Yes.
Excellent. As Wonder Woman? Oh, we'll keep it under our hat, shall we? That's lovely.
You'd never know. You never know.
Thank you.
That's no problem at all.
I've now hijacked a couple of convention goers here. What's your name?
Sorcha.
And who have you come as?
I've come as a Power Girl Marilyn Monroe mock-up. More Power Girl than Marilyn Monroe, though.
Oh, I think it's more Marilyn Monroe... What did you say it was?
Marilyn Monroe Power Girl mock-up.
I noticed the Marilyn Monroe part of it. Yes. Yeah, so. And who have you come as?
Jadzia Dax from the Armand Bashir episode of Star Trek.
And what's your real name?
Tabitha.
Wouldn't it be funny if it's Jazia Dax? So, have you been here all weekend?
We certainly have.
Have you enjoyed it?
We have absolutely adored it. So there's my son, Hunter S. Thompson, walking past. Fear and Loathing on the Isle of Wight. Yeah, we're definitely glad we came 2 days.
Are you from the island?
Not originally, but we moved here. Such a lovely place to live.
And what have you enjoyed most?
Just the experience, seeing what other people have created, seeing people's reactions to the costumes have been the best thing, I think, because it's just such a lovely thing to see.
Yeah, it's nice to see people actually getting the chance to dress up, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah, we can all let our alter egos out today, and it's just wonderful sharing it with everybody else.
Yeah, normally it's just carnivals, isn't it? And now we get an event to do it.
Privacy of your own home, but yeah, this is wonderful.
I hadn't considered that one. Had you considered that?
No comment. She's my daughter. She's considered.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a lovely day.
Isabella Pearson, I don't know who the hell she is, but never mind. What have you been buying today?
Things.
Specifically?
DC. Oh.
Specific DC things?
Yeah, art kind of stuff and things like that, yeah.
Art kind of stuff, but yeah. What specific art kind of stuff?
Paintings, sketches.
Particular themed paintings?
Get there in the end. Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn. And what do you come dressed as?
Harley Quinn.
Who's Harley Quinn? So Ben, how do you think things have been going this weekend?
Pretty awesome.
Excellent. That's the answer I was looking for. And so any heads up on the possibilities of a repeat?
Oh, definitely. We'll always do this.
Oh God, I love the... You always come up with the right answers, don't you? So has it sort of excelled your expectations?
Oh, massively. People have enjoyed themselves, and that's always a good thing.
What we've seen from this is that people in Cowes specifically seem to love the opportunity to dress up, which they really haven't had much to do, apart from, like we say, carnivals earlier on, and I think they'll always want to do it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it increases confidence.
Yeah.
You can become someone else for a day,
yeah.
And it's just damn good fun. And, you know, that's
but you knew that along, didn't you?
Yeah, well, you have to.
And I want to say on behalf of everybody here on the Isle of Wight, thank you for bringing it here.
It's an honour to bring it here.
I can't wait for next year.
Thank you so much for your support.
Oh, thank you.
I'm here with a very special guest. I'll let him introduce himself.
Hey, this is Brian O'Halloran. You might know me from such great films as Clerks, Mallrats, Brutal Massacre, Vulgar, Chasing Amy, Clerks 2, and many more.
All my favourites. And I have been very, very lucky to have been granted 5 minutes. And I just wanted to ask how you've enjoyed the Isle of Wight and the con.
I've actually enjoyed the island quite a bit, actually. It's very reminiscent of Galway, which is where my family is on the west coast of Ireland. So being to a UK coastal town is very home-feeling. Hitting the pubs was obviously definitely home-feeling. The weather held up. We had a bit of a chill in the air, but nothing too great, nothing too worrisome. A little fog here and there, but you know what? That's, you can't be in the UK without a little fog.
That's typical for here.
Yeah.
Absolutely typical.
And the con, in general, for our very first con, we were here at the Manor House here at the Northwood, and I got to tell you, it's a beautiful space. So many crowds. I mean, yes. At times you couldn't get through the hallways here, and this is a grand hall, no less. So it was nice to see the island and people from the mainland come out for it.
It's been unprecedented how well received it's been. It's astronomical, and we're so excited to have it coming back. Hopefully it will come back next year.
Well, I think it will. Well, the word of mouth from the people who did attend will tell the people when they ask, oh, how was that? And like, oh, it was great. You should come. And next thing you know, on the average, a convention will gain, on a good convention, it'll gain at least a third more of its attendance than it had previously. So let's say if they had 5,000 this weekend, they'll get in another 1,500 next weekend and the following. Maybe about 7,000 the next year, rather. And stuff like that. So it's always exponential, and as long as the good work and they improve every time and bringing another bunch of guests that are good variety for people to see, and the vendors that came out this weekend were very good, and the entertainment that they had on the Q&A panels. I mean, everybody keeps raving about how Manu Bennett was at the panels and stuff, and I always enjoy doing my panels as well, so it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, yours was very fun, especially obviously always being asked to do the Trump impression, but right. that was classic.
That was just here at this island.
Okay.
So it was very funny, because I just tell a story about, you know, if Emperor Trump was in the Star Wars world, how would it be? So I'm glad you enjoyed that.
No, I did enjoy that very much. No, it's been brilliant. Thank you so much for coming, and hope you'll come back.
Oh, absolutely.
That'd be brilliant.
If they invite me back, I would definitely come back.
No, definitely.
We're trying to organize actually like a karaoke boat cruise on one of the ferries. I think that would be something the fans would enjoy.
Oh God, no, absolutely. Thank you so much for talking to me. It's been great to meet you.
I'm now here with the lovely John Altman, who played the nasty Nick Cotton in EastEnders. Have you enjoyed the weekend?
Thoroughly enjoyed it. Great to be back on the Isle of Wight, which I visited many times. And my roots go quite deeply here, because my dear mother was born here in 1920, and we scattered her ashes on the island back in April. And I just had a lovely run along the Egyptian promenade at Cowes, both mornings that I've been here. I love the island, I love the Solent, I love the Downs. I was thinking this morning, I wouldn't mind living here one day. Okay, so
that sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
Cowes is a nice place.
Yes, indeed. So, you know, I'd love to. I feel like I need to explore the island again, because I was here when I was very, very tiny, and there are places I've probably completely forgotten about.
There's a few theatres here as well. Hmm? There's a few nice theatres here on the island.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, maybe play the Shanklin Theatre. Who knows?
Have you been there before?
I've seen it, but I've never played it. Yeah.
So it's quite a nice theatre. We go there quite regularly. One of our co-presenters, Mary, who lives in Ohio, is a big fan of EastEnders. Mm. I was wondering if you could just give her a sort of a passing message.
What's her name again?
Mary.
Hello, Mary. All right, Ma. How's it going, girl? Hope you're swell. All right. Take care of yourself. Lots of love.
Thanks very much, John. Hope to see you again next year.
Bye.
Now, as I alluded to earlier, Isabella and her friend, Alanis, wanted to enter the cosplay competition on the Sunday afternoon. These usually kicked off at 3 p.m., but a certain American actor decided to carry on talking for about 20 minutes, delaying a load of cosplayers in quite a cold marquee tent. Eventually, they did get a chance, and Isabella and Alanis were at the front of the queue. And this is a little audio segment from a video I shot of some of the cosplay competition. And this bit involves Alex Watts and Dez, and you'll be speaking to Alex at the end of this show, where we recap the whole weekend. And I have to say, this has been one of the highlights of my Doctor Who fandom, even though there wasn't a lot of Doctor Who involved in the convention.
So hello, Dr. Harleen Quinzel of Dr. Harleen Quinzel. And your name is?
Isabella.
Isabella and?
Alanis.
And why this version of Harley Quinn?
I just absolutely love Harley Quinn, and she's just amazing and crazy, like me.
Amazing and crazy like you. A match made in heaven. And for yourself?
The same.
That's fair. And did it take you as long to get your costumes together?
It took me about 10 minutes to do the makeup and 5 minutes to get dressed.
15 minutes?
Yeah.
You show off. There's people in here that's been working on this since 1993. And for yourself, was it about the same?
Nearly.
So 14 minutes, 59 seconds then. We'll go with that. You are so uncomfortable on this stage, are you? I don't know what I'm doing.
That's right.
It's okay.
It's a moment.
Exactly. So you want to take a step in the light
altogether.
And get into your best Harley Quinn pose. What would that be? So essentially your Harley Quinn pose is I'm gonna swing a hammer, and your pose is like everything else, which is just I don't know. Alright, I think are we all set and happy? Yes.
Alright,
everybody, round of applause for the Harley Quinns.
I'm now with the delightful April Turner, who is a bit of a cosplayer expert on the Isle of Wight, aren't you?
Ooh, yeah, well, I'm learning.
Well, you're the main judge.
Well, yeah.
You were the Simon Cowell of the cosplay competition.
It was difficult to judge everyone, though. It was such a good competition.
It was indeed. So have you done many conventions off the island?
Yes. Bye. I generally do about 4 to 5 a year. So.
45 conventions? That's unbelievable!
4 to 5, sorry.
All right.
Yeah. That's a bit underwhelming now.
Yeah.
But no, it's really nice to go to all these conventions, meet new people, and just.
Love dressing up.
Yeah, that's it.
How do you thought this one's gone?
Oh, it's amazing. It's better than I thought. The turnout was awesome.
Yeah,
so hopefully
people,
next year.
Yeah. Better celebrities. Well, I think the ones we had were really good, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people, who are these people? But actually come along and actually really, really, really nice people and fascinating to listen to.
Well, that's it. Yeah, especially when some of them are on the panel with you and you're just like, oh.
That's a bit of a thrill.
Exciting, yeah.
So, excellent. So, next year?
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Excellent. I look forward to seeing you. Thank you.
No problem.
Well, here we are at the wrap party and 2 pints of Kronenbourg later and a game of pool. I'm now with Alex, who is the astute compere of shall I say the Comic-Con, or just we just say the arena?
We need to clarify, did the pool game take you the time it takes to do 2 pints?
Well, as I wasn't involved in the Q game apart from watching it, and it was my idea in the first place, and I didn't get to play it, and I'm going to sulk about it, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was your first question?
I didn't have a question. I was just introducing you.
Terrible.
I was introducing you.
Sorry. I've had a few drinks as well.
Yes, I know. So we're just going to summarise the weekend, because there's certain aspects. Obviously, when you're at a convention, you can't see every single thing that goes on. And so I missed out the whole of what went on the Saturday in the arena. And as far as I know, you had a great deal of fun.
We did have a great deal of fun. I had to reschedule an entire trip to America to do this. I was supposed to be with YouTube filming a documentary about Jediism in New York and Los Angeles. But when I heard they were doing it on the Isle of Wight, you know, I'm on the Isle of Wight myself, I live here, my people, I had to reschedule everything to clear up my diary for this, because the way it worked with my schedule, I'd have come in the first day jet lagged. And I wouldn't have been able to enjoy it, but I wanted to be here for all the cosplayers who were coming out to have their first go, the first, like, out and proud being able to do it somewhere. So, getting in there for my first day, I arrived and it was crowded, there were people there, everyone was having a great time, and I just had to make my way to the stage, where I met Dez. And we had never met before. Never met, never, like, hung out, never had an email conversation beforehand. It was like, you're Dez, I'm Alex. Because we had to go on stage then. Like, the crowds were not dispersing, so they kept bringing guests out for panels, so we were just like, we've got to go now, and just start.
Did you realise now we've mentioned Dez, we're probably going to have to get him on the recording somehow.
Yeah.
And he's just set up the pool table, and he's wearing a jumper with Ghostbusters on his boobs. He's another comedian. We're just going to explain to the listeners who he is, with some strange accent.
With that sweater on, he looks like he'd lost a bet. That's all I'm going to go with. So Desa Gorman is a comedian, actor, nice guy. He's an out and proud nerd. He like dresses up as Ghostbusters all the time. He is, if we're more wise, I'm the straight one. He's the funny. He's the funny guy. So I'm not out and proud.
Well, he's not trying to allude that he's gay, because apparently, is he getting married soon?
He is getting married soon. His profile photos. He's selling photos for £5 on his website to fund his wedding. So
that's 500 pence, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to, what's his name again?
That is Des O'Gorman. He's Irish.
Yes, look him up. He might want to sell some stuff for him.
Yeah, if you buy a picture for £5 from him signed, and you tell him I told him to do it, then I think
you might get some sort of commission.
Yeah, I'll send you a sticker in the mail.
So obviously they run the cosplay competitions, and the cosplayers were just amazing this weekend. Were you quite sort of, oh my God, there's a great big queue of cosplayers there?
Yes, I was. I was aware of the Isle of Wight cosplay support group, and I was aware of people doing it. I know they were doing costumes and all the development over the months. I was not anticipating the length of the queue and the amount of entrants we had. So where Des and I had only met on that stage, we had to develop a rapport very, very, very quickly. Because with the amount of people we had to maintain a good stage presence and pacing to keep people entertained whilst we were doing all this stuff. So when you see the queue, we just had a quick confab. It was like, this is going to take X amount of time. We'll swap from asking questions to telling jokes just to try and keep it fresh. And I was actually just blown away. Like, every now and then someone would come up on stage and you'd see their handmade costume and you're like, wow. So there's a guy who 3D printed a Batman costume. Yeah. Now, Batman's my guy. I love Batman. But watching a guy who printed a Batman costume, it made me happy, because, like, at my age, I remember the days when, you know, your communication with the fan base was like fanzines, and like, if you want to write to a Power Ranger, send it to P.O. Box, and 6 months later you might get a reply. So to now live in a world where these key people can communicate online anytime they want and print out costumes, I was so happy for them. Because they were like, there are people who are in this thing tonight who came up to me and were like, I've never done cosplay, always wanted to, but I've never had the opportunity. So the Isle of Wight Comic Con gave them like this hub to come out and be like, outside there I'm Steve,
to channel their inner selves.
It's like, outside I'm Steve, but tonight I am Melisandre.
It's usually only on New Year's Eve or carnivals that people were able to get their suits out of their cupboards, and now they've got the Comic Con for a whole weekend to maybe try two or three costumes if they're lucky.
Well, we had a 9-year-old who was from a Final Fantasy character, 20 years older than she was, but she was into the character, she loved it. And she'd handmade all of it with her family. It was a project for the family. And like, when I was a kid, if you liked Mario and stuff, your mum was like, okay, whatever keeps you quiet. But to watch these family projects all come together, it was mind-blowing.
It is. When, obviously, having a daughter of 11 myself, it is very competitive, and it's also very, a family-orientated designing and creating costumes. You're always looking on Amazon or trying to create bits yourself. I was just thinking of that little girl today with the Dobby outfit.
Absolutely. She can't have been older than 5, maybe 6, and she was dressed as Dobby the house elf. She had her own Harry Potter book. It had a sock in it. And she had made these... It was like a pillowcase that had been dyed and everything and sort of weathered. And she had, like, cut out the ears from a cereal box. And he was like...
You could see the branding of the cereal box on the other side of the ears.
And, you know, she had, the pipe cleaner things to make it like to hang on to her ears and everything, and my ovaries just went. I was like, the real winner here, like, we gave out first, second and third prizes, but the winner here was just the island, because everyone just, like, even the people who didn't win a thing were just so happy that they got the opportunity to get up on that stage
and show off.
Like, this is what I've been doing for months, have a nice photo taken and just be like, celebrate all together. I think we did about 45 entrants so into the cosplay contest, so every single person just got to stand up there and just have like a round of applause and a cheer, like,
this is me.
Yeah,
and the one that I remember the most, it was Aaron, the blind guy, that, and he came to us on Saturday, and he's obviously a fan of many genres of geekdom, and he was feeling the Dalek and everything on our table and being so enthusiastic about everything, and it was lovely to be able to allow him to feel the sonic screwdriver and everything on there. And then he said he was going to do the Mario Brothers today, and he almost took over the show.
I have a fun story about Aaron before I even get to that. Aaron is a very good friend of mine. I love him to pieces. If people don't know, he's blind, and so he was like commenting midway through people on the stage having their costumes on. He was like cheering. doing, but he's blind, so he can't see. He's just, he hears a word he knows, like Final Fantasy, and he's like, woo!
Yeah.
But Aaron is my barometer for quality. So my partner and I run the Enchanted Isle, the costume company, and Aaron will come and see us, and he'll feel the costumes,
yeah.
and he'll be like, I think Batman would have something like this here. And like, you're right.
Yeah.
Like, cause it, as we take it for granted. So Aaron's just feeling my costume. He's like, the cape length is good. Yeah, the muscle mass is good. I think the gloves could be better.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay, Aaron, I'm working on it. Because, you know, I believe in quality as well. So where I don't dress up as Batman at comic book conventions, I do professionally do Batman costume stuff.
Yeah.
So to have someone like Aaron come in who's so enthusiastic and so pumped about everything, like we could have like the tiniest prop in the world, but I'll tell him like, oh, we got a new Ariel necklace or a new Moana necklace in, and he's like, I need to see it now. Like, I'm on my way.
I forgot about that whole thing. He had one of the judges who couldn't see, and he was trying to judge a blind guy dressed in a Mario costume, which was quite ironic.
Well, the TIE fighter pilot is just blind.
Yes.
Yeah, the TIE fighter pilot was a judge who couldn't see, so he had to have it explained. But Mario came on stage, and I put my arm around him, explained to the audience that Aaron's blind. This is his first con. He's a very big. It's his first cosplaying.
Oh, right.
So he was like, I'm going to do it. So he did it, and you know, he got his raptor round of applause. But we had April, the Isle of Wight cosplay professional,
yep.
And Aaron, God bless him, is not. He didn't mean it offensively, but so we're talking about, you know, hey, we got April, the professional cosplayer here, and he's like, who's she? I've never heard of her.
Yeah. She found it quite amusing.
And I was like, Aaron, you sassy devil.
I did talk to her about this afterwards, about that you said about the professional cosplay.
Yeah.
And I said, here's our cosplay expert. She really did play it down.
Yeah, April is the kind of person who will save your life and be so humble about it. She'll be like, it's nothing. Like, she works hard at what she does. She's passionate. She's very popular and very successful at what she does. And I think she was underplaying it enough that people still felt comfortable, because when you meet a professional cosplayer, it can be intimidating. Like, the first time I ever drew Batman anything, it was then like I saw a guy dressed in full costume and it was mad, and I was like, oh, that's me done. So I didn't think April wanted to like intimidate anyone, like, this is how you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, it's just obviously, you had your job to compare all those things in the hall. Obviously,
yeah.
You're quite busy most of the day. Did you get a chance to go around and see the celebrity areas and the signing areas?
On the first day, I had no chance. I was just on the stage all day. But I arrived super early on the second day just to do some laps and get some FaceTime with the people I was interviewing on stage. Because they come on stage, I ask them some questions, they go again. They wouldn't get much FaceTime. So to actually see them, have a quick conversation and talk. Like, is there anything you actually want to talk about today? It was a good feeling, but
there was a certain chap who did talk a little bit too much this afternoon.
I was privileged to do what I do because Manu Bennett. It's a Q&A session.
I'm talking about Manu here. He was really up for it, and yes, Harry, you carry on.
So Manu Bennett's doing a Q&A, a Q and an A, question and answering panel. So hands up, who's got a question for Manu? So he comes onto the stage and just takes the microphone and he goes, so Manu, how have you found the Isle of Wight? And Manu went on a tangent that took 40 minutes. It started with him skinny dipping, some farmers seeing him skinny dip, a farmer and their dog seeing him. Then went on to how he got into all these roles and how he feels the Isle of Wight relates to his roles. And it was mad because all anyone said to him was, how was the Isle of Wight? He ended up nearly choking Des on stage. Des nearly passed out. He nearly, like, whilst reenacting one of his scenes from The Hobbit, he nearly threw a kid across the room.
Yeah,
a kid was crying, like a baby in the lap was crying, so he brought the kid on the stage and made the mum sit next to him with the baby just to give that kid a moment. And it was just like, I'm out of a job here because I'm supposed to help people find questions.
The audience, weren't you?
Supposed to prod them for questions, and then Manu's just like, "Ask me any questions." I'm like, "Manu, we have no time."
Yes. I was in the queue of cosplayers waiting for the next segment at that particular point, but yeah, it's getting very cold in that tent, so it was getting a bit frustrating. But on the other side of things, it was actually very entertaining.
You can't stop him. Like, Manu is from New Zealand, so he has this really soft-spoken, humble voice.
Yeah.
But where he's done the roles in Spartacus and Arrow, he's got that look about you, him, even. If you interrupt him, he'll kill you. He's so soft-spoken, but he'll kill you if you interrupt him. And it was bizarre.
Yeah.
Absolutely bizarre. But
he did have control, and he said, no, I'm going to carry on
it. But being front and centre for that and just watching the man work was just beautiful. But my own personal highlight was my two panels of Brian O'Halloran from Clerks. I waited 24 years for that moment. I was like, let's do this.
You know, a lot frustrating for me and Brian is the fact that although I recognise his face, I didn't really know who he was. And Debbie Melrose, my sidekick on the podcast, she went squee once he was announced as a guest. Who is he? And it's really frustrating.
Yeah.
When everybody's going squee about this chap, and I didn't really know what he was in. But then, obviously, having seen his face, he's got an aura about him.
When you meet someone like him, he has a massive cult following. Like, he hasn't jumped from project to project to project to project to project. He's a working actor, but Clerks is a definitive role for him.
Yeah.
And he's been part of Kevin Smith's Viewersk universe for 20-odd years now. So Clerks was just about working in a shop. A black and white movie, two people working in a shop in on a counter, till jockeys. And it was the definitive piece, because it's almost a rite of passage for anyone growing up. Everyone at some point will work a till.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
I should watch it, because I work a till every day.
It's a guaranteed. And so what you do in a boring day, you talk pop culture with your friends and just hang out.
Yeah.
It almost becomes your second home. And so his character, Dante Hicks, is just a hallmark. It is a touchstone for so many people. Like, I remember those days. I remember that. I remember being him. And so to have him stand in front of me and we're talking about it, and he quotes a few lines from the movie, and I'm like, oh, you said it.
It's really frustrating, because I know I'm going to go watch this film now, and he just walked out the door.
He'll be back. I'm sorry.
He did this. He hand across his neck, which rather implies that he's going home or back to his hotel, but never mind. I got a funny feeling he's coming back, because he did actually mention he was coming back next year, so I'm going to hold him to that.
Ooh. Now, spoilers.
Well, he did say...
Is that exclusive? It might be.
He didn't say it to the boss man, but he did say it to Debbie, who spoke to him a few times off microphone.
People forget he's actually has a lot of family in England, so he actually comes to England a lot.
Yeah.
So he's actually Irish originally. His family's Irish, so he's a very, very over here a lot, lots of family. So it's not uncommon to see him in the country. Mm. And I think we've done enough to make him go, I'm going to go to the Isle of Wight today.
Yeah, well, let's hope he comes back next year, and I'll definitely watch Clerks between now and then I'll be more in awe of him.
Also, watch Clerks 2 straight afterwards.
Is he in that as well?
Yeah, it's a continuation. So Clerks was made in 1994.
Yeah.
And Clerks 2 is set, I think it's 2006.
I do hope it's on Amazon Prime.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I need a reason to have Amazon Prime.
But it's just watching how his character is so far down the line. And, like, I didn't relate to Clerks 2 so much when it came out. I was only a teenager. But now I'm at that age, I'm just like, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Well, I would get it being in that business, but my day job being, a retail person.
So he's got, like, characters from who he went to high school with who come in to see him.
Yeah.
In this new movie, and it's just like, oh, you're still, flipping burgers and behind a till. It's like, damn, shut up.
Looking the build up to that, obviously, once we heard there was going to be a Comic Con on the Isle of Wight, the initial, oh, thank God for that,
yeah.
And then the excitement and the build up, and then the gradual sort of drip feed of guests being announced. And obviously, for me, we lost the two Doctor Who ones.
Yeah.
But what overrode it for me was the fact we're going to have a convention on the Isle of Wight.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so lovely coming in on the Friday and setting up and thinking, oh, God, this is going to be a fantastic weekend. And the fact that it was. And it was, in fact, better than what I thought it was going to be.
I mean, sales were good. It was a good atmosphere. Everyone had fun. Nothing nothing went wrong, but the real winner here is the kids on the Isle of Wight who'd like have this thing now.
For us, it's cows, so for me personally. Obviously, I think it may move away from cows, but what a great event for cows. It really did, right time of year, there was nothing really going on in cows this time of year. And for the island as a whole, but cows specifically, it's been a great thing.
Absolutely. I think more importantly than ever, just finding things for the Isle of Wight is fun. But to get something like this, because there are kids out here who'll be watching on the TV shows, they love the actors, they love the cast, and they see San Diego Comic-Con pictures, they see MCM in London, and just they see it all happen on their screens. And then when they get cats like the Power Rangers and Brian O'Halloran and you look around this room right now. Well, no spoilers for who's in the room right now. But these kids can just see that, like, you're on the box. I've seen you on a box in my living room, and now you're here.
I would say the Americans are playing pool at the moment. It's probably a good time to stay away from that table, because the hustling may begin.
Well, look at it. The back of his hat says hustle.
Yes.
It genuinely does.
It does indeed. Yeah. But yeah, also the other thing that's quite nice is a lot of events involve celebrities. Celebrities are brought out at certain times. But this one, they're sat around, so you don't necessarily have to speak to them, but you can walk past them and say hi, you know, and that part of it's free, which is fantastic, and you can have a chat with them. That don't cost anything, and yes, they do sell their autographs or whatever. That's fine. They understand. They've got to make a living, but they're lovely people, and you can actually interact with them and have a bit of fun with them. I saw Brian Wheeler, the little chap from the Star Wars films, and that they did an amalgamation with the alien guys next door, where he laid on the floor and the alien guy stuck an alien on his face, and basically we're all filming him lying on flat on his back with an alien on his face. Is it finished yet?
Amazing. And that's what's awesome. Like, you see all these people on the screens in their costumes and they're in character. Like, Manny Bennett's character in Spartacus is intimidating.
Yeah.
But you speak to him and he's like, you're a really nice guy.
Yes.
I want to take you home.
That's how you hope it's going to be, isn't it? It's like John Altman, he plays Nasty Nick. Like, what a nice chap.
Yeah. He offered to go get me a tea. I was like,
Well, I introduced him as the lovely John Altman who plays the Nasty Nick Cotton.
My only regret from this weekend is that I didn't get to do a Q&A session with him, because his book, his story, and his struggles and his redemption arc in real life, him as a human being, fantastic. And I wished I could have got him on the stage today. But
I think he'll be back. I think he's. I did speak to him about. He said he's got a lot of connections with the Isle of Wight. I think he said he's scattered his mother's ashes here. So I think he could be back.
Absolutely, and I hope he does. I mean, you don't want to have the exact same guest back next year, but I've spent close proximities with these people for the weekend, and some of these people are my friends. Like, they've added me on Facebook. We're friends now, and I want them to come back, and I want them to be all the best. Yeah. And this bar right now just feels like the end of a movie.
Yes, it
like
does.
we've seen some stuff this weekend.
It's like an episode of Friends.
Yeah, like it's Friends. You know, it's just everyone knows your name here. Like everyone, like there's no egos in this room.
The other thing I get is you can feel the excitement for next year as well, because we are going to have one next year, and it's going to be bigger and better. And the reason it's going to be bigger is because there's so many people didn't bother coming to this, and it was well attended. Yeah, and
imagine what
going to get around. It's the Isle of Wight.
Yeah, like everything. I think the word already got around on the day, because the people coming to the door just like, I heard this was on like 10 minutes ago. I'm like, how? The campaign's been big.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's been weird. I've the weirdest thing for me, and this is self-promotional, is that I have met up with people. The people have stopped me and been like, oh, you're Alex the comedian. Can I have a selfie? Mm. And where I wanted to film stuff for my own use and like stuff today, I didn't get my camera. I was so busy, just having too much fun. I didn't get my camera out. So anyone who took a selfie with me or recorded me while I was on the stage, I made sure to go up to them.
Funny enough, I did record you on the stage during part of until my camera battery started running out. So I do have some. That will appear on the 20 Megabyte Doc 2 podcast Facebook group when I get around to it.
Well, what happened is that I went up to these people and was like, here's my card. Please send that to me on Facebook. And what I completely forgot was that it was my professional business card, so it has my phone number on it. So I had all these text messages coming to me, people with selfies, like, hey, great to meet you, I'm a new friend, thanks for giving me your number. And I was like, what have I done?
No.
So to be stopped by people, because people who came to my world record show, people who know me as a comedian, people who see me as Batman and stuff, it was really nice for all these people to sort of come in and be like, I know you, and ask for autographs. You know, there's people around here.
I have been in that situation, not necessarily with the podcast, but when I was being a writer and having to sign books in bookshops. It is really weird.
They asked me how much it was, and I was like, I'll pay you. Like, if I get my camera out and you say it louder, I'll pay you.
I don't think I'll go that far.
I was like, hey, if you want to talk to me after the show, I'll be surprised.
Are you sure you want me to ruin the cover of this book by signing it? It's fine, I'll do it.
It devalues it. Like, do you want to go get someone else to sign this picture?
But yeah, what a great weekend. Everybody's filled with a bit of happiness now. I think tomorrow's going to be, it's finished. Got to wait quite a long time for the next year. But it's happened. It's been successful. And it's looking up for the future.
Props to Ben, though. He has put on one heck of a show.
Yeah, what a nice man.
What a humble dude. Like, he's just put this on. And just, like, when I was approached to be in this event, I'd never met him before. He had seen some clips of me here and there. But when I got to the door, like, I was like, I didn't know how to get credentials. So he was already there, and the person was like, have you got a ticket? And before I could even reply, he was like, he doesn't need a ticket, he's Alex Watts. And I was like, yeah, I am.
Well, I obviously, once the news came on that there was going to be a convention, I just emailed him and said, well, I do a podcast from Cowes, a convention's in Cowes. And he didn't really bat an eyelid. He just said, great, that's fantastic. And it just embraced me being part of it.
He makes you feel 10 feet tall.
Yeah, he does.
Just by being so nice and like appreciating
you. It's ironic because he's 10 feet tall.
Yeah, and he's like, I'll bring you up to my level. This is how I see the world.
But yeah, it's a great event to be involved in, and I think a lot of people that have been privileged enough to be part of it are feeling exactly the same.
I just like seeing there is, you know, there's some voice actors from some very big video games, some Power Rangers, and they're just playing pool with the people who check tickets.
Yeah.
That's the world we're living in right now.
That's because we're privileged enough to be at the rat party, but it is like that, isn't it? It's just like we had Brian sat down there. We had Andrew Lee Potts came in for a quick chat and a free selfie, and we had John Altman. Yeah, see there. John Altman's been around. They didn't have to come tonight, but they did.
Watching John Altman eat his dinner, I was like, yeah. He eats like Nasty Nick would. I'm like, yeah.
But he was great. He did a little piece for one of my American co-hosts. She's a massive fan of EastEnders, ironically. And she's going to be thrilled to bits that he went, hello, Mary. Hello, Ma.
But that's completely undone when you look at his t-shirt that he had on a store that says 100% cotton. And like,
yeah. I didn't see that. I'm not that observant.
That
to be
was
fair,
amazing. I loved it. And I was like, that's too good.
Yeah. I'm just so excited for next year.
Yeah, but I'll be here.
Yeah, good. Well, I hope so. I was even tempted to cancel the wedding.
But I've just been booked. Like, you just can't, like,
I did hear that. I'll bear witness to that. thank you, Alex. It's been absolutely, what can you say? Amazing.
It's been unconventional for us.
You've been thinking of that all week then, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
That didn't just come to you. I've been planning to do
that. That just came to me, I promise you.
I wish I thought of that one. Anyway, so thank you very much. Let's go and get a pint. So that was essentially it. And after the major buzz of the weekend, I must say, I'm feeling a little bit today like it's the day after New Year's Eve. No, that's the day after New Year's Day, I meant. Bit deflated. Got hopefully a whole year now to wait to the next one. And it's only going to get bigger and better because, like we said, the people of the Isle of Wight have shown their love of cosplay, a love that I was unaware of, apart from when we were at carnivals, etc. I'm feeling rather jealous because I feel inclined to wear my 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast t-shirts when I'm at cons. But maybe one day I might see fit to wear something. But obviously Debbie enjoyed herself. And I'm hoping we get a few more of our listeners come along to conventions, maybe new listeners that have decided to listen on after meeting us at Norfolk House. Next week, we return to the journey, and I've got to get round to watching, as has everybody else, The Monster of Peladon. And I hope anybody who is now a new listener will enjoy the usual format of the show. My thanks to everybody who gave their time to talk to us over the weekend. We feel rather privileged, I don't think I'm going to recover from the joy of what we experienced 5 minutes away from our own house. So until next week, and I hope all the American co-presenters on this show are quite jealous, thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.